Welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, fourth Halloween special. This year, we try some scary craft beer from Samuel Adams, Widmer Brothers, Magic Hat, and Lost Abbey. Happy Halloween!
Favorite beers have some earthy stank stuck on.
As long as it's not a metallic any longer.
Blah, 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 I want my beer, damn it!
Beer Coaster Podcast, it's for your learning.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer, from coast to coast, and every once in a while, in between. I'm your host this week. I'm back. I am no longer sick. I am Mike right. from Boston, also known as...
Sick in the head.
The Officer of Original Gravity.
There we go.
And with me this week on this show is...
It's Crazy Dave from Temecula, California.
And Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Cool. Yeah. So,
yeah.
This is our Halloween cool. show, folks. This is our Hoppy Halloween.
Hoppy Halloween.
Is it Asian?
Hoppy
it Asian
Halloween. Yes, it's our Asian beer podcast.
Either that or are we talking about hookers again?
No.
Either way, we're going to be alienating somebody, right?
So our theme is alienate somebody every week. That's
we're
a given.
Alienating the Asian hookers this week.
Yep.
What do I get for $10?
So we got some scary beers for you. For our fermentation conversation, we're going to try Sam Adams Fat Jack Double Pumpkin Ale.
Fat Jack.
Sounds frightening.
We got some scary tasting flights, too. Toby, what are you going to try?
I'm going to try Widmer Brothers Kill Devil.
Ooh. Kill. Devil. How about you,
exactly.
Dave?
Oh, I'm going to have the Uniform Farts and Rainbows. I mean, the Lost Abbey Witch's Wit.
I guess Unicorn Farts Ooh. Could be scary.
That first one was scarier.
I'm going to try Magic Hat's Heart of Darkness.
Man, this sounds like a scary show.
It's a scary show with some scary beers. Let's do some scary drinking. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right.
This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
For our fermentation conversation, we are going to try Samuel Adams Fat Jack Double Pumpkin Ale. This is from the Boston Beer Company. Their website is www.samueladams.com. I'm not even going to read this. We read this all the time. As far as Sam Adams, they, you know, with their breweries all over the place, not just Boston anymore.
Yeah. They're coast to coast. They're like Beer Coasters Podcast.
There we go.
Or at least... Coast to
now we can just get them to send us some beer.
Coast to Midwest at least.
Yeah. Well, they're in Washington, Tumwater, Washington.
Oh yeah, there you go. So coast to coast, done. The ABV on this beer Go ahead, Dave. What's up?
Well, this beer, I don't know if it really is. Well, maybe it is coast to coast because Toby was able to get it, but I couldn't find it anywhere. I went like four or five different places, and like most of them.
Well, you can get this series because you had the Dark Depths, right?
Yeah, I had the Dark Depths, and a few places had, you know, some of those different beers, but, like, this particular one, like, when I asked for it, they looked at me like I had three heads or something. I'm like, it's like a pumpkin ale. Like, how do you guys not have this? You have the rest of the series, you know?
Right.
And I'm pointing to them at their shelves, and like, well, we ain't never heard of it. So, but the one place that probably would have it is an hour away from me, and I didn't feel like driving all the way up to Rancho Cucamonga, you know, on a Monday night to go look for it.
Right.
Rancho Cucamonga. So the ABV on this beer is 8.5%. The IBUs are 25. This was first brewed back in 2011, and it is a limited release. And just in case you're wondering,
are you sure about that? This says batch number one, dude.
It says limited, dude.
I just said that. Limited release. Yeah. This is batch number one of this beer.
Well, but it's saying that it was brewed first in 2011.
Yeah. So I mean, it could be aging. Maybe, who knows?
Tap or something. Yeah. You know.
Oh, it does. You know, by the way, it has 288 calories.
That's what I was going to mention. And that's just per 12 ounces, just in case everybody's you know, watching their figure and don't want to end up looking like a fat jack. So let's crack it and I'll talk a little bit about the ingredients.
Seriously, the guy on the little label there looks like a, like, what's that guy from Spaceballs? Pizza the Hut.
Yeah.
Totally is what this pumpkin looks like.
So for ingredients here, the malt varieties, you got two row pale, rye, special B, and smoked malt. For hops, they use East Kent Golding and Fuggles. And
are those things that like those little corn husk like horn looking things?
Corn looking things? Those are bugles.
Bugles,
not Fuggles. Bugles.
For special ingredients, they actually use real pumpkin and cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, and allspice. And for their yeast strain, they use the Sam Adams House Ale yeast.
Something like 28 pounds of pumpkin per barrel went into this beer.
Yeah. Solid finger of head. It's sustaining very well. Yeah. It's a
nice
kind of a copper
color.
Color.
Yeah. It actually looks a bit orange. The highlights on the edge of the glass are going orange to me.
Yeah. Very clear. Man. Lots of carbonation.
Nice kind of tan head. It's kind of dissipating now, but I have a nice kind of rich film kind of right along the top with a few extra bubbles.
Whoa. Can smell those spices.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Big pumpkin, it's cinnamon.
You know what it smells like? It smells like when you walk into, like, what is it, the Hickory Farms in the mall in the Christmas time?
They still have those?
I don't know.
But I'm not getting that's what it reminds that kind me of nasty sausage kind of smell.
There's this little bit of a, like, a summer sausage smell, and then there's the allspice.
Or the cheese ball with the things on the outside.
Cheese balls rolled in almond chips. Yeah. See, now that sausaginess is starting to go away.
Sausaginess. It smells like pumpkin pie. Or even maybe there's something that reminds me of this might be like a taffy, like a pumpkin taffy. Like something I'm smelling makes me think that it's like a chewy pumpkin candy.
See, I get vague hints of pumpkin. To me, it just smells like spiciness, you know, like I don't know. I guess I'd have to take a sip. Yeah.
How cold are you guys drinking this?
Mine is actually
not too cold. It's pretty cold, but it's not too cold.
Yeah, Toby pulled his out of the fridge a little sooner than I did. Yeah.
Maybe give it a few minutes.
We don't have a few minutes, dude.
We're going to take a sip.
Yeah. We're drinking all night tonight.
Taking a sip, yeah.
A sweet pumpkininess.
A little creamy. Aftertaste
has kind of a light brown ale kind of base to it.
Yeah, I could see that. There's not a whole lot going on. I mean, it's in the afterwards, it's like you get a little bit of dryness, a little bit of spiciness.
Yeah, I'm getting some sticky alcohol in the middle of the tongue, and some spice at the end, and I wasn't really expecting it because the aftertaste is making me think that it's a much bigger beer than it did in the beginning, because you take a sip and it doesn't really feel like that big of a beer. But now in the aftertaste, I'm getting alcohol.
It seems very British. You know, it seems like a traditional British, either like a lighter version of a brown ale, or don't know if it's that just the hops that it used or what, but it just has this British ale type of feel to it to me. And it's not super pumpkin-y, you know? It's a little bit.
I would have expected it to be pumpkin-y.
And I mean, those spices are there, but
yeah, but you're not. It's all there, but it's very laid back. There's even rye malt in here?
Yeah. And there is a little bit of that peppery spiciness.
Yeah.
Which actually makes sense to kind of use something like rye when you're doing a beer like that. Just
kind of balance it out a little bit.
Sharpen it up. And balance out the sweetness.
What about all those spices, though? I thought that's what that would do, huh?
But I think that's kind of adding though, because I'm getting kind of the cinnamon and it's like the cinnamon and the rye kind of right on the tongue.
I'm not really picking up on any ginger or any of that. It's just, or the smoke malt. It's just very, I don't know. Like I said, everything's just kind of laid back.
No, not much in the smoke category at all. It has what kind of a peppery dryness. But I mean, the first sip, you think it's going to be sweet, and then it kind of
a little bit
sharpens up and dries out at the end.
Yeah. What would you pair with it?
Let's go. I'm gonna go with you do like a scampi pasta. You could maybe do it with some turkey, and you know something with a little bit creamy sauce with some pasta, some you know mild peppers and onions with the creaminess. And the turkey, you know, I think would kind of play, you know, because it's the whole pumpkin-y, Thanksgiving-y theme, you know?
Thanksgiving-y. I am leaning more towards breakfast, and I'm going to say French toast with some sort of a pecan.
Yeah, something nutty drizzle. Would be good. Yeah,
yeah.
Something nutty would work for sure.
Pecan, whatever.
But I was thinking, too, like a chicken pesto. Is another thing that kind of came to mind.
It was that would be good.
The pine nuts.
Yeah, pine nut pesto kind of thing. Yeah, that would be good. I like it.
Yeah, Beer Advocate comes in at an 82.
Oh, I knew Dave was good for something.
Damn. Look at this. I do more than just look at porn on the internet, you guys. I really do.
Porn or beer.
No, but
my most popular sites I visit.
Well, what's interesting, though, the Beer Advocates only have 121 reviews on this, so very few. And, like, 86 of those were in the bottle, 27 were on tap, and 8 of those were growlers. So, wow.
And on the flip side, Untappd rated this a 3.58 out of 5, and that's with 2,754 ratings.
Wow.
Like, how the hell does that happen? I mean, I would have thought Beer Advocate would just kill it with the ratings versus versus Untappd, but I guess not.
Well, if you get a chance, check this one out. It is limitedly available. May not be available in Southern California. We're not sure yet.
Real quick, I'm looking at Untappd here, and you know, on the side it tells you the top drinkers for that beer. Of the top 15 drinkers, Tony Leone's one of them.
What up, Tony?
Nice.
There you go. Oh,
that's funny. Shout out Tony Leone, the Fat Jack. He's drank it 4 times now.
He must really like that beer.
I guess he does.
All right. I guess that's it. We'll be back right after this.
Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
Beer drinkers of the world, it's now time to check the headlines at the Beer Coasters Daily.
Yeah, for your weekly dose in beer news, make sure you go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Brews Paper link, and read all about it at the Beer Coasters Daily. See you in the funny papers.
You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untapped, Google Plus, and even Pinterest. That's right. Cheers.
And now out west, it's time for Crazy Dave to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
What up, everybody? This is Crazy Dave.
What up?
Suckers, you got me back for another week. Like Mike calls in sick one night, and all of a sudden they got to call in the backup reinforcements and shit.
You already checked in your beer, dude? What the heck?
Well, I just, I checked it in because otherwise you hear me click, 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 click. You know, and you guys make up stories about what I'm doing.
Now you already know what the ratings are, and you haven't even rated.
Oh, I didn't put a rating. I just, you know, said check out the beer, you know?
Okay. Whatever. All right, dude.
Sorry. Anyhow, what I am drinking tonight, though, is the Lost Abbey's Witch's Wit. This is a wit beer from Lost Abbey. They're out of San Marcos, California, formerly the Old Stone Brewery building, associated with the guys from Port. It's the same place. They just, like, this is their higher-end, more, like, Belgian-y, you know, whatever
right.
kind of
Barrel
beers.
Barrel aging and all beers. That stuff.
Yeah, Brent Lovin and all this stuff.
I thought that we had done this beer on the show, and I looked back and we didn't. It was 2 years ago. We talked about when there were the controversy over the label.
Right.
Remember?
That's what.
Oh, with all the Wiccan people get all pissed off about.
Yeah,
it
well, there's people offended by the witch.
Well, yeah, because it does show. There's like a stake, and there's a chick being burned, and there's all these people watching it and everything.
Yeah.
You know, and then of course on top of that, you know, of course they have like their Celtic cross on label on everything. So I mean, it's definitely a very
We mentioned that religious. It's like on the type Halloween, of, like two years ago, two. Halloween shows ago.
Well, that's all the Lost Abbey beers. They're all, you know, they all have something to do with some sort of religious thing.
I mean, come on. Their logo is a freaking cross.
Yeah, and it's called the Lost Abbey.
I mean, if people aren't, I mean.
And they have Latin, like, written on their walls in their brewery.
You're going to have people offended of their logo, you know.
I'm atheist, right, and I'm not offended by it.
Well, there was, speaking of that, Mike, with the logo, there was that tap handle thing with Moylan's up there in Northern California. They had the whole, Moylan's has the Celtic cross too on their tap handles.
That's right, yep.
And so did Lost Abbey. So I don't know what happened with that whole thing, but it was just a tap handle thing. It wasn't an actual logo because the Moylan's logo is a lot different from the.
That would be badass if Lost Abbey's tap handles were just these big f-ing crosses that
the
you know,
whole
instead
handle
of like a,
would be a cross.
That'd yeah, yeah. Dude, that'd be badass. I'd buy one of those just because it's cool. And it had to be that old wood, you know, like that wide grain, you know. Yeah. No, but anyhow, these guys are like I said, are out of San Marcos, California. This beer weighs in at 4.8 ABV, so it's nice and light. Interesting note, all Lost Abbey's beers are, the easy way to spot them is they're all corked and caged. So.
Like the witches themselves.
So I am going to undo this cage and cork, and hopefully I don't bust a hole in my monitor.
I guess I can get rid of my witch's wit bottle. I've been hanging on to it because a couple of years ago, after we did that story, I saw it in the store and I was like, oh, I got to get this. They must not have gotten rid of this label yet. So I got to get this because this label's going to be gone. But no, they're still, the label's still there. So I guess I can toss it now. Whatever.
He's still trying to pull his cork off.
Well, the cork, like, it's not a fat cork head. And so, but the cork is actually thinner than the bottleneck, so it's hard to get a grip on it without grabbing the bottle and really get, I gotta get a towel. Hold on.
Yeah, fat fingers.
He's pulling on his cork and now he needs a towel.
Story of his life.
Let's try this. Still playing with his cork.
Here it comes.
Watch out. Watch out, ladies.
Twist and pull. Twist and pull.
Just all I got to do is twist and pull a little bit, ladies.
There you go. There it goes.
And sometimes have the little, you know, the little towel that you have in the drawer.
Yeah.
All right. Wow, right next this to the is scrunchie. I thought the scrunchies go around the gear shift lever thing. Wow, this pour is very, very, very light. It's almost like the rear view. This beer is very, very yellow. It's light. It's translucent. It's not clear at all.
Remember when guys used to have the garter belts around their rear views?
Hey, shut up. I have one of those. Remember that time I put a condom up in your visor, and then you went on a first date with some chick, and then she popped out the visor, and a condom goes dropping out?
That was classic.
Back to the witch.
Okay. So yeah, like I said, this is really, really light.
That's what we were talking about.
Ooh, it looks like almost like yellow Gatorade or lemonade or something.
Which is piss.
It's got... Yeah, well, no, it doesn't have that gold color to it. It's a yellowy color.
Yeah.
So not like a piss color.
Like a wit beer.
Yeah. Oh, it's got a little bit of head, like maybe a Yeti hair.
Yeti hair.
That's a new one.
This is definitely Belgian-y. Like right off the bat, you get the your typical banana kind of... In spicy clove kind of smells.
Can you smell frog's breath?
So, anyhow, I'm just going to...
Nothing's more suspicious than frog's breath.
I'm going to jump right up onto this.
Taking a sip, yeah!
It's one hell of a tongue buzzer. Like, right away, it's like... Bzz, 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 like, someone took a 9-volt battery and hit my tongue with it.
It's very... Mean.
The
very
silver, no, it's the silver tongue of the witch, David.
You know, I would think like a witch beer would be more.
That's a universal symbol for morning. The witch. Witch's sip.
Witch's sip.
This is your quintessential wit beer, you know. Reminds me of like Hoegaarden's or something, or yeah. Some sort of blonde kind of a thing.
Don't say Blue Moon, please. Do not say
No, not Blue Moon. Like I said, it's definitely more the style of the European way of doing this beer.
Like me some Hoegaarden, though. That's some good stuff. If you're gonna drink a Belgian wit, you know,
it's got. It has definitely like citrusy, like I said, it's got a tartness to it. So there are like those citrus tones, and then there's a sweetness to it too, like some honey or something, which really confuses me because like when I think of witches and burning at the stake, like I don't think of a light, you know, summer beer,
fruity citrusy beer.
No, not at all. I don't know. Maybe when I'm thinking of killing people, it's like, you know, I'm not going to sit back with my lawnmower beer, you know, and watch it. I'm going to, you know, have like a good, deep, complex kind of a beer so I can completely savor the moment of, you know, someone burning to death in front of me. But because I always pictured, you know, witches burning in the winter time.
Just think of Burning Man. Doesn't that happen in August up there in the desert?
Yeah, that's Burning Man. Well, I guess men could be witches too, huh? Did they burn sure. men? They didn't burn men. They were all women, weren't they?
I don't know, man. Anybody who
they really because I could I could totally as much hubbub as the whole Salem witch trials caused. There really weren't that many that were accused of being witches.
So it's like 10 people got killed and like it was like this big scandalous controversy or something.
Yeah.
Damn it. I like Burning Man better. They should change the name of this to Burning Man beer. Because I could picture some chick rolling up naked on her bike, you know, and I'd be drinking this.
All covered in dust and sweat and
what's up, baby?
She's all tripping on acid.
Oh, so the hops.
She has dreadlocks, hasn't showered in 4 days.
Hey, no, come on. Dude, seriously, you got to find the hula hoop cam from Burning Man on YouTube. Go look for that. That's actually pretty good.
The hula hoop cam?
Yeah, from Burning Man. I forgot what year it was, but they literally put like a little GoPro camera or something dizzy. On a hula hoop, and they just had girls doing the hula hoop thing.
Wow.
Anyhow, the hops. This thing was made with German Magnum and Czechsaws hops. And that's all the information that I was able to find on this beer. You can check them out at www.lostabbey.com. This is one of their seasonal beers, so it's not available all the time. Like I said, it's a summer beer, and it definitely tastes like a summer beer. It's nice and light like a summer beer and reminds me of naked chicks rolling up on bikes like they do all the time to me in the summer.
Untappd has this at a 3.58 out of 569 ratings.
Beer Advocate has this as an 85, which is good. And the Brothers Ahlstrom have not weighed in on this beer.
You know, it's funny that the top two places for drinking this beer are the Lost Abbey Port Brewing places. And the second is Killarney's Restaurant and Irish Pub. We got a Killarney's right down the street.
Killarney's.
Riverside.
Yeah. But I think there might be Killarney's. Two. There might be one in Riverside, one in Temecula. But I don't know.
Well, cool. I forget. Next up. What did you pair with this?
Oh, crap.
Oh, beer pairing. Food pairing. Come on,
food
dude.
Food pairings. God, you know, something light. I'm thinking like a salad, but not a chicken salad. Like probably like a salad with like, I don't know, some sort of fruit. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Fruit salad.
Fruit. No, not a fruit salad. Like a salad like with maybe some like dried apricots or something like that. And maybe fish, but not chicken. Definitely not blackened chicken. I think that would be too overpowering.
Okay. All right.
But definitely a naked chick on a bike would be a good
thing. With dreadlocks and hairy armpits.
No, Toby. No. What is it? What? Like, really? Have you not looked at the Burning Man videos?
I'm thinking of Burning Man as a place.
You're thinking of Woodstock, dude. You're not thinking of...
Yeah, but Burning Man, you're like trapped in the middle of the desert in the middle of the summertime with no food or water. You have to bring it all in yourself.
There's lots of naked people there, too.
And it's like a week, right? A week-long thing. It's at the desert. It's not like you're in some, like, oasis somewhere where you have...
No, it doesn't mean they have dreadlocks and hairy armpits.
All right.
I mean, these people come from L.A., goddammit.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Beer Coasters podcast. And don't forget to support your local brewery, your local beer pubs, your local beer bars, and your local home brewers, etc. Drink local, because local's fresh. Boo!
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
All right, this is Toby out west in Vegas. And Vegas. I am trying for my creepy, scary Halloween beer. I'm trying the Widmer Brothers
Kill Devil.
That's right.
Those the are Kill Toby's Devil. Cookie Monster vocals.
Kill we Devil.
Like cookie.
This is Widmer Brothers Reserve number 6. Yes, it's a beer in a box. That's right. I don't know how many of these I've done on the show.
Whoa, look at that. It's got a fancy ribbon and everything. That's not a ribbon.
No,
is
there's
it?
No ribbon on it.
Oh. It's a sticker.
Damn.
And, that's how fancy
Widmer is. They put a ribbon
that's
on that.
That'd fancy
like,
Widmer is.
This is Widmer Brothers out of Portland, Oregon. They've been brewing since 1984. I think they started bottling in 1996, which is pretty crazy. So, yes, it is a beer in a box. The Kill Devil is a brown ale. Comes in at 9.5% ABV. It's 30 IBUs. The ingredients are Alchemy and Calypso hops. The malts are Pale, Calypso. Maris Otter, Aromatic, Caramel 10L, and Extra Special. It is brewed with 90% is brewed with palm sugar and molasses, and it's aged in rum barrels.
Ooh, now we're talking.
It's also brewed with sweet Barbados and blackstrap molasses, black licorice, blackened toffee, and the rum barrels are actually Puerto Rican rum barrels. So you know what? I'm just going to say that they're oak barrels, and this is part of my Oaktober. How about that?
Absolutely.
There's a lot of blackness in that beer.
Yes. Sounds very black. I'm going to crack it.
Damn.
With my new...
That shit sounds black, yo.
With my new iPhone bottle opener.
Yeah, Toby's got this new case for his iPhone that a little bottle opener slides out the top, and you can... Your beer.
It'd be really cool if you get the iPhone to just you pop the top and then scan the beer and it just untaps it for you.
That would be awesome. Okay, so it pours out. I got about a half finger of fairly quickly dissipating head. It is a little cloudy and it's kind of like the Fat Jack. It's that copper color, but it's more towards brown. It's brown with copper highlights, I guess, is more like it. Nice lacing. Head is dissipating pretty quickly. On the nose.
Man, these guys spent some money on that bottle. There's like a three-color label, or like a three-color like silk screening on this bottle.
You got some serious...
Yeah, it is pretty nice, Dave. You're right. Pretty nice bottle. I never really noticed that. Maybe that's the first time they've done that with these... It even has like a, it looks like a gold, one of those gold, like the gold print.
Gold foiled. Yeah.
Yeah, almost like that. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
It's all nice and sunny.
Yeah. So yeah, on the nose.
Evil.
What am I smelling here?
You're smelling evil.
You're smelling the devil's ass.
I do pick up on some caramel, like some toasted caramel, brown sugar. That's really it. It's not very aromatic. There's a little bit like a very toasted malt.
Getting any of that vanilla with the oakiness?
A little bit of vanilla.
The rum should really kind of, I would think, give a real kind of caramely sweet aroma.
Yeah. With all that molasses in it too.
Yeah.
Molasses. Sweet. Molasses.
If I take a really deep breath, then yeah, I can get that rum. It's like a spiced rum, you know? Just a little bit, though. Yeah.
Yo ho ho.
Taking a sip, yeah!
I was watching the show the other day, and they, some pirates had taken over these two ships, and they actually sunk them in the inlet to the.
Oh, wow.
To the island that they were at, and they knew that they sunk them real fast and without, like, you know, taking without salvaging all the cannons and stuff, because they found a bottle of rum in the sunken ship, and they're like, "There's no way in hell a pirate would have given up a bottle of rum," you know, because it's so easy to grab, you know. But and they were in such a hurry to sink the ships that they didn't even have time to grab the cannonballs, and the rum. They just had to drop the thing in the water so that they could block the channel, so the British couldn't get in there, or whoever it was.
Wow. This is probably a little too cold right now, but it's
fail.
Not bad.
We're gonna have to get like a beer thermometer and start just sit here and wait for the beer to get to the proper temperature.
On the tongue, I do pick up on that rum. There's a really good woodiness. Like very nice wood flavors in there. Yeah, I mean, that's probably the most, that's probably the strongest flavor is this really good wood flavor, like a natural wood. If that makes any sense. Like there's no charredness, there's no burntness, there's no like.
It's just pure oak. It's not like barrel.
Like, well, it's not like, I don't know.
Roasted,
like,
toasted barrel.
Like waterlogged, I guess, would be one. It's just like a straight
that
up like.
That doesn't sound too appetizing.
But we had, Mike and I had a beer a few weeks ago that seemed waterlogged, didn't it, Mike? Or was that just me?
No, I don't remember which beer it was. But
weird
I do
wet wood was my.
Describing it as waterlogged.
Weird wet wood.
But yeah, this is like.
Well, my wood gets wet, you know, it's not weird.
Yeah, I'll bet. This is dangerous because this is very drinkable. It has a little bit of sweetness. I do pick up on some vanilla, a little bit of molasses. But yeah, it just has that really nice wood flavor. But it's not overpowering, you know? It's not like super rummy. It's not super, you know, like you get those barrel-aged things where it's like whiskey or bourbon and they're super overpowering with whatever was in that barrel before. But this one, it seems to be very subtle, at least with the alcohol side of it. But the woodiness comes through very nicely.
So was it really barrel-aged or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't say how long, but.
Oh, yeah, here it is. As the beer conditions in Puerto Rican rum barrels. Yeah, because usually you think if it was aged in that rum barrel, it would pick up a lot more of the rum characteristics.
There's a little bit. I mean, you do pick up on a little bit of a slight spicy rum type flavor, but it's not overpowering. It's very, very subtle. Hmm. And of the hard liquors that are out there, I think rum is probably one of the ones that I like.
Well, it's sweet.
Like, I'm not big on whiskey. I'm not big on bourbon. I'm not big on vodka or any of those, but rum I seem to be okay with. You know, rum and cokes are good and whatever, but I'm gonna let this warm up. I'm probably gonna have something else to say about this in last call, but for now, with a food pairing, I think this would go good with I might have to have Gina help me out with the food pairing, because I mean this could go this it's very it's very light. It's like very subtle and light. It's not overpowering in any way. I was thinking at first,
there was some Mexican candy that was like brown sugar. Like it was like, it literally looks like a chunk of brown sugar and it's got like vanilla. I don't know what it is, but.
Pair with a churro.
That would probably work, right?
A churro might work. Yeah. I was thinking dessert. I was thinking maybe like creme brulee or something like that.
Bananas Foster.
Like with some good toffee flavors, like, or the burnt, you know, like in a creme brulee, you get the burnt top.
So what like about the, Bananas Foster?
I don't know if bananas would, yeah, might go
like
with
it
this.
Make it a Bananas Foster.
But yeah, I think I'll go with that. Like some sort of a creme brulee type dessert, Bananas Fosters along those lines. I think would be good. Or a flan, maybe. But
flan! Yes!
Like but creme brulee, I think, is my number one choice. Just because
me
of that charred...
Flan.
Rum
that
cake?
Charred top. Maybe rum cake.
Rum balls?
So, that is
chocolate
the...
salty balls?
Say, everybody, have you seen my balls? They're big and salty and brown.
Oh, no.
If you ever need a quick, pick me up. Just stick these tonight. Balls in your mouth.
Beer Advocate. Users, Rachis, and 81. Andy Brothers Alstrom have not weighed in on this beer.
Untapped has the Kill Devil at 3.74 with 675 ratings.
Dude, I wonder if like everyone's going to Untapped now to do their beers, because Beer Advocate only has 25 reviews of this beer.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, this is so much easier. You know, there's an app for it and all that. Because with Beer Advocate, there's no app for it. You have to go to the website, log in, and find
the
beer.
I never rate my beer on Beer Advocate.
This is like the quickest review ever. You just give it a number of bottle caps, and you don't even have to. This is like,
yeah, you can just check into it.
Just check in. So, but
yeah, I like Untappd.
Interesting to see what happens to the future of Beer Advocate.
Yeah.
And it was here on Beer Coasters that we started, you know, like promoting the use of Untappd.
Well, we promote them both, man. We promote them both. Yeah. Check out other beers in the Brothers Reserve series. I know I've done quite a few on the show so far. It's Widmer.
They all come in boxes?
Yeah, the Brothers Reserve series all come in boxes.
A.K.A. the Bro
But this
Rizzi.
New label, this label printing, I think before they were all glued on labels, but now they're printing them directly on the bottle, and it's very nice.
Fancy. Yeah.
They're Widmer, making some money.
WidmerBrothers.com.
Yeah. Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada, with happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. With a wide variety of hard-to-find craft beer on draft and bottle. Special tappings every month. Don't forget to stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft coupon. That's right, Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, Eastside, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
All right, folks. This is Mike from Boston. And for my tasting flight, I'm going to try Magic Hat's Heart of Darkness.
Ooh.
This beer's from Magic Hat Brewing Company out of South Burlington, Vermont. Their website is www.magichat.net.
Magic Chat, come
the
on.
The availability dude. Of... Yeah, Magic Chat. The availability of this beer is October 15th to January 15th.
Magichat.net.
Imagine that.
And it's a stout. The ABV on this beer is 5.7%, and the IBUs are 30. I'm going to crack it, and I'm going to tell you some of the ingredients.
Crack it.
So, for ingredients, for malts, they use pale, crystal, roasted barley, chocolate, and Munich. And for hops, they use Apollo and Golden Goldings. And
Goldings. Hmm.
For yeast, they use an English style ale yeast. On the pour, it's dark brown. It just a bit of light kind of shining through on the edges. It's I had about a pinky finger of head. It's kind of dissipated a little bit. What's that? I hear some whispering and chatter in the background.
Yeah, you know, they're just taking care of
I hear some magic chat going on.
Some magic chat.
So, yes. On the nose.
On the nose.
Smells like a roasted malt. And, it's a very kind of a roasted malt character. Little bit of cocoa and some coffee, like a cold pressed coffee, you know. It's
ooh,
got that kind of
cold,
you know what I mean? It's like
a lot
it has
less
kind
tannins.
Of like a grainy, I don't know, there's something about it that because I had an iced coffee just recently that was cold brewed, and the taste of it reminds me of the smell of this.
Did they? Well, it doesn't say anywhere that they did that they brewed it with cold brewed coffee, did they?
No, not at all. I mean, there's no hint of coffee at all. I mean, there's the chocolate malt, roasted barley.
Because that's probably from what I've heard. That's the best way to brew with coffee is cold brewed coffee.
It's cold, yeah. That makes sense.
Really?
Yeah, you get the most coffee-ness out of it, and no a lot less bitterness from the tannins and stuff. Because that's what happens when you brew coffee with hot water. It tends to bring out the tannins more. Mm. But because I've heard like if you want to have a true coffee, the cold brewed is like the best way to go from what I've heard. But when I drink coffee, man, I want that hot. You know what I'm saying? Unless they get an iced coffee, but usually they brew it and then they ice it, right? I don't know. Cold brewed iced coffee? I don't know. Whatever. I'm just blabbing. I'm just magic chatting.
Blah, 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 blah.
Getting a little bit of earthiness is kind of a little like a dirt type aroma.
Dirt?
Yeah. And maybe a little bit of a caramel or like toffee, but I think more caramel. I gotta take a sip.
Gots to.
Taking a sip, yeah.
It tastes a bit woody. Like almost like if you put your tongue on a piece of balsa wood, like it's
like
got that
Harrelson?
Bitter. No, not like Harrelson.
More like Toy Story.
Yeah, probably more like Toy Story in this case.
Nice.
I mean, you get that roasted barley in there.
Am I? If I'm already getting drunk, this is not a good sign for the rest of the night.
It says this is a stout, and man, this is probably one of the thinnest stouts I've ever tasted.
Fail. Mm. Looks like a stout.
It looks a lot darker on video than it does in person here. It has, you know, a bitter roasted flavor at the end, kind of dries up, but it's kind of thin.
You know, I know some porters end up being thin like that, but a stout, you always want to think of like a big, creamy, you know.
Well, you know, if you think about kind it, of a, Guinness stout is pretty thin.
Yeah, but it has a creaminess to it, though.
Yeah, it is definitely creamy.
Yeah, and this doesn't have a creaminess to it. It's definitely, you know, towards the dry stout style.
Yeah.
And you're getting that kind of like a chocolate malt, but it's like a straight chocolate malt flavor. Like there's not a lot of complexity around just the straight. It's almost like,
so they basically took the head, scooped it off, and made the beer out of that.
Yeah. There's not much more, you know, beside that. I can't really reach too much deeper here as far as the flavor goes. There's a little bit of an aftertaste with that kind of a, you know, a darker malt kind of aftertaste. I don't know what I would pair with this. Might try to go with like dessert and go with like a brownie sundae kind of a la mode thing, but as long as like there's some walnut, there has to be kind of some nuttiness in there, because I think the bitterness of the walnuts might make this feel a little, I guess, a little less bitter. But it's tough. I'm not really sure. I think if you got a good chocolate brownie with some walnuts, and the creaminess of the ice cream might play pretty well with this. It's tough though, because this is thin for a stout. It's not, I mean, to me, it's kind of like an over roasted kind of brown ale. But yeah, anyway, that's what I got for that.
Hey, is Magic Hat part of the Craft Brewers Alliance?
I believe they are.
Yes. Are they? Okay.
I think so.
I was just wondering. I remember hearing something a while back. This had something to do with Magic Hat and being sold to somebody, or the original founder was no longer there. And
not really sure. I have to look into that.
Hmm.
Beer Advocate users rate this a 90, which is exceptional. And damn, the Brothers Allstrom rate this a 97, which is world class.
Whoa. Holy shoot.
Whoa, Mike.
So we're going to have to wait to see what Mike's going to come up with this in the last call.
I can't wait to hear what Mike has to say about this one.
Dang.
I'll have to magic chat it up.
Mike's going to talk some shit.
Yeah, so I don't have untapped here. I'm going to pull it up here in a second. Oh. I'm going to untap my beer.
Dude.
Thanks for helping, guys. I appreciate it.
Oh, I looked at the Beer Advocate, then you just busted out before it. You know, I figured you were going to have to go to untapped anyways.
What's it called?
The Heart of Darkness.
Heart of Darkness. Okay.
Darkness. It wasn't coming up when I did.
You know what the bottle? Yet. You know what the label of this bottle reminds me of? That video of Faith No More. You know.
Yeah, they don't have their body parts right either. It's Heart of Darkness, and there's an eye on the
eyeball.
Label.
Yeah, but you know that video where they have the hand, and then they have that eyeball in the middle of the hand from that Faith No More video. That's what that label totally reminds me of.
Yeah.
Like, what is it?
It has something. It.
What it's is something, it?
Something to do with the Illuminati or something like that, I think. So.
Wow, we're getting into some deep shit here.
The let's see, Untappd.
Everyone
is
bust three, out your
3.68 out of 5, and that's out of 294 ratings.
Wow.
And this is a beer that they brewed a while back. They just haven't brewed it in a while.
Is it their seasonal?
Apparently it's back.
Is it like a fall seasonal
it
or something?
It is a winter seasonal or fall seasonal, yeah.
I know Magic Cat does
those.
It's
available from October to January.
Magic Cat does those variety packs like Sam Adams does, right? Don't they do like a winter pack and a
absolutely.
Fall
yeah,
pack
we did,
or whatever.
Yeah, we've done the spring. Remember I did the vinyl and the demo. Yeah. There you have it, folks. Magic Hat, Heart of Darkness. In Vermont. Check it out.
Heart of Darkness. It's a wicked smile.
Heart of Darkness. Hat? Hat of Darkness?
That's right. It's a Heart of Darkness. Don't be a smart ass.
The hat. The Hat of Darkness. Darkness.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
Setox says, 9 Grim Reapers are walking down the street drinking beer. Either it's a Halloween party or somebody's cat is actually dead.
Tweet of the week, yeah.
Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coaster's email and hotline.
Mike has some backwash for Beer Coaster Charlie.
Yeah. Seemed last week's episode, they were trying to describe rye and, you know, what the flavors were and how rye differed from, say, other, you know, whiskeys or bourbons and whatnot. For me,
other grains.
Any rye that I've had. Or any rye malt that's been used in beers, they seem to be searching for words. And the one thing that they didn't say, which is one of the words that I use all the time to describe rye, is peppery.
Peppery,
it has
yeah.
a very peppery kind of and with rye you get a very peppery feeling in the throat, and it's the same type of thing. So I always kind of try to describe rye to people as a very peppery. Kind of malt.
I totally agree. That's right on with it.
And I know they were kind of almost getting there where they talked about a little bit of spiciness and whatnot. But for me, that's the one word that I use to describe rye all the time is kind of, it has a pepperiness to it. So anyway, that's all. I just wanted to pipe in. That's my 2 cents on rye.
And we did get
very
some
interesting piece of backwash.
Yeah, we got a phone call on our hotline from Logan from
Drunk Text, Drunk Dial,
University Games. Is that what it's called?
Was it a drunk dial?
No, it wasn't
a
drunk dial.
I don't believe it was.
Oh, fail.
He's from University Games, and there's a game called Pub Trivia, which he wants us to try on the show. So we're gonna get back to him, and we just want to let everybody know that we did, or let him know that we did. Get the message, and we're talking it over, and there may be a time in the future when we'll be doing a pub trivia game here on the show, just to check it out, see what people think.
Yeah, so, we're thinking we could either play the game on the show, or you know, have an interview with the game developers or whatnot. So we're going to reach out to them, and we'll get back to you listeners on the show, and figure out how we're going to do that. I think it'd be kind of cool to play a little pub trivia, especially after we've had a couple on the show.
Playing a game
Yeah.
Sweet.
Cool. Thanks for the backwash, Logan.
Right.
Yeah. Next time, drink a little bit, then call us.
All right, everybody. Last call.
Last call, folks. Sometimes that's how it ends.
Sometimes.
First up,
that's,
if you're
sometimes
lucky.
That's all you get, you know, yeah.
Pint ratings. Crazy Dave.
Oh, pint ratings. I only drink one beer, so it's going to be pretty easy for me.
Oh,
that was a lost
action. Yeah, we could do that first. That's fine.
What, my? Ooh,
we're
what?
All out of order.
Yeah,
anyway.
Go for it, Dave.
Go ahead.
Dang it.
Tasting pint, right,
well,
Dave. Go.
Okay. I had one beer. It was a piece of cake. It was not my favorite style of beers. You know, I didn't even pay attention that it was a wit. I just saw witches and the burning chick and everything. I thought, oh, this would be a nice beer to have. It's got a cork in a cage. It's got to be pretty good. That being said, it was
scary.
Actually...
Scary, yes.
The bottle is definitely much more scarier than the beer itself. It's light, and I think I want to update my food pairing. I think a salmon Caesar salad would be the thing to have with that. And I would think I'm going to give this a 3.5. Maybe 3.75, because it actually is a good wit beer. You know, it's definitely got a little bit of complexity to it, even though it is on the lighter side, and it put together very well. So that's what I got. One word, honey wit, or fruity wit, fruity honey wit.
All right, that's cool. Toby?
Fruity honey wit. All right, for my Sam Adams Fat Jack, it ended up turning out to be more pumpkin-y than it started. So towards the end, as it warmed up a little bit, you got a little bit more sweetness, you got a little bit more of that pumpkininess, you got some more of that nutmeg and allspice, that type of stuff, from what you would expect out of a pumpkin beer. And it's crazy, because when it first started out, it seemed pretty weak and laid back, but then towards the end, as it warmed up, it started to really jump out and seem more spicy, pumpkin-y. So...
So it just fell on his face?
So I'm going to go with...
It's like when the pumpkin starts to what do you call it? Decomposing, starts flattening out.
It starts to sag a little bit and get all mushy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the 3.5. I'm not a huge fan of pumpkin beers, but I think this one, towards the end, as it warmed up, I think it got to be a pretty nice pumpkininess. And since it came creeping out and surprising me a little bit in the end, I'm going to call it Sleepy Hollow.
Wow. I don't get it.
And for the Widmer Brothers Kill Devil, this one is all gone. Gina drank it all, so I can't even... Let me just get a last little taste in here.
Oh, cheater.
As a reminder. It's very rummy. Like, it's not super strong rum, but it is a nice rum flavor.
Rummy, rummy, rummy.
Rummy, rummy, rummy. I got love in my tummy.
So, I think I'm going to go with a 4.5. It's very
Whoa.
Tasty.
Ooh. Damn, I didn't expect that, man. You were really...
Yeah,
I know.
It didn't sound like he was
you
all...
were talking it down in the whole.
No,
in
I wasn't talking
flight.
It down. I wasn't. It. There was nothing really that was like. It's very drinkable, but now as it's warming up, it's a lot of the spiciness is coming out, and the rumminess is coming out. It had those really good wood flavors. I did mention how they're very nice wood flavors. So it's very nice, and I think that it would. Age well. So if you were to actually sit on this for about a year or so, I think it would age very nicely. But it's good, man. It's very tasty. It's got lots of nice flavors in it, and it's drinkable too, which I like. So 4.5, man. It's good.
Nice.
And for one word, I'm gonna. I don't know. I've never been to Jamaica, but I'll just say Jamaica, man.
Jamaica Mon. All right.
Or no, I'll just call it. I'll say Yaman. How about that?
Yaman.
Hooray beer.
Even though it's a Puerto Rican rum.
Hooray beer.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'll call it Boricua. How about that?
Boricua. Great. Now we got a Puerto Rican beer.
Yeah, it's Puerto Rican rum.
So,
for my... No.
I just picture this big booty chick with hoops and everything and boots.
There you go. My new name for it is J-Lo.
Oh.
J-Lo. Spicy brown ale.
Puerto Rican, J-Lo, big booty. There you go. All right. Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
It's all right. For the Sam Adams Fat Jack. Nice enjoyable finish. Pumpkin beer. I'm kind of on the same level as Toby on this one. I'm going to rate it a 3.5 as well.
Biter.
I think that it got a little bit bigger as it warmed up. When it was cold, I was for some reason it was appearing thin to me. And it kind of thickened up and sweetened up, and that spiciness on the tongue was kind of nice. It was very drinkable, an interesting pumpkin beer. Definitely not a pumpkin beer that you would get in a six pack. You know, it has a
right.
Well, you can't drink all six of them.
That's something extra. And yeah. I'm gonna call it El Gordo.
Yeah. Gordo. Yeah, it's one of those things that one of those beers that you definitely have to have at slightly chilled.
Yeah.
Because I think just a little bit
of chill on it, yep.
You really get a lot of those pumpkin-y flavors if it's just slightly chilled.
It seems like there's a lot of cinnamon and spice too. Because there's a good spiciness on the tongue that kind of makes you keep wanting to sip. For my tasting flight, the Heart of Darkness.
Heart of Darkness is wicked cool, wicked That's smart.
Fucking, yeah, wicked smart beer this is.
What did you guys say?
Heart of Darkness with the eye on the label.
It's retarded.
It's retarded. So, yeah, this is their stout, and I honestly, speaking of... not...
Tatted?
Yeah. You said it, not me. Beer Advocate with the 90 and the 97. I think they must be trying a different beer because this does not.
He said beer.
Taste
beer.
It doesn't taste like a stout. It's supposed to taste. It tastes kind of thin. It tastes like someone tried to copy a stout. It's got kind of a homebrewy. Powdery maltiness to it that I didn't appreciate at all. I'm just not a fan. I'm not a fan of this at all. I'm gonna give it a 2. It's drinkable.
Whoa.
Unfortunately, I bought a six of it. And I'll drink it. It's drinkable, but it's thin. It's not a stout. This is not what I would consider a stout. And
what's wrong with those brothers Alstrom?
They're like big fans of
big beers too. Like if it doesn't stand up, they usually get pretty crappy ratings, don't they?
Yeah,
you'd think.
Just I don't know what it is about this one that they just rated really high. I just don't get it. It's possible that this is the new version of it, and last year's was different, or a couple years ago, whenever they brewed it before, was better. I don't know, but. To me, these ratings make no sense. I think this beer is not
subpar.
Yeah, I think it's subpar for sure. Yeah.
Wow.
For my one word for this one, fool's gold.
Ooh, I like it.
Damn.
Good job. A good one.
Yeah, I couldn't think. I'm thinking like wolf in sheep's clothing or something like that, you know, because it, you know, you would think this beer on paper and even actually list it as an oatmeal stout, which, I mean.
Those are inherently ridiculous. Just I just imagine like you being able to float things on top of that just because of the creaminess that oatmeal stouts usually have.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you think of good oatmeal stouts, you think of like Anderson Valley's like Barney Flats.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or, geez, even the local Ipswich Ale oatmeal stout, I think, is worlds apart from this Magic Hat. And that one, I think I might have even done that on the show. That one, well, that one gets a really good rating, too, so that's probably not a good comparison. What's that?
The Alaskan oatmeal stout is amazing. I really, really like that one.
Alaskan,
I think it's Alaskans.
But I just don't know how this one is up there in the high ratings here for oatmeal stouts.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Damn it.
So, hey, we can't always agree, right?
No.
Yeah.
I want to give a... Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody last week. I want to thank Gina and Charlie and Crazy Dave here on the show for doing the show last week, even though some of them didn't actually do the show last week. It was, you know, previously recorded and whatnot, but it was cool that they sat down to kind of taste beers and record it and in the beer coaster style, and I appreciate that we could use that for a show.
Even though we were a little toasted and had been drinking for half the evening.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And I want to give a shout out to Tony Leone. Yeah.
And also, I want to give a shout out to Drunk Hulk on Twitter.
He's pretty big funny, and he's green.
Twitter
he's
account. Drunk. And he's mentioned a few things that's been pretty funny. So I'm just giving a shout out to Drunk Hulk. Well, I guess that's it for beers.
That so wasn't too scary. Well, I guess I'm not hiding under the bed.
We had scary names, but it wasn't a very scary show.
Yeah.
Just a reminder to all you listeners out there, this is your show. We're just drinking in it. Cheers.
Drinking.
BeerCoastersPodcast.com is the website. Check it out.
Yeah. Call us. Drunk dial us. Do something.
Porn or beer, my most popular sites I visit.
Frog's breath? Nothing's more suspicious than frog's breath.
If I'm already getting drunk, this is not a good sign for the rest of the night.